The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
First, Ireland will today officially become a member of the Common Information Sharing Environment, a European naval intelligence sharing network. The alliance includes 11 European Union countries with substantial coastlines and will allow the sharing of information about vessels around our coastline. So, how important is this intelligence sharing, and will it have an impact on our neutrality, or indeed our perceived neutrality? Joining me to discuss this is Cathal Berry, former member of the Defence Forces. Cathal, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
First of all, tell me about this group. What will it be doing and how is it constructed?
So basically, it's just a fancy name for a maritime intelligence sharing network, really. And as you said, it was established last year. It's been run by the European Commission, and it involves 11 countries currently. So 10 are EU and one is Norway, which is an EEA country. And it operates based on the exact same principle that our air traffic control monitors in Ireland share information with other air traffic control services in Europe, and also how our Garda Síochána interact with Europol. So it's the exact same principle, except this time it's in the maritime space rather than in the air or rather on the ground.
So what will we do? Where will this be based? And what weaponry do we have at our disposal, or what information gathering equipment do we have at our disposal?
So the node or the hub, or I suppose the centre of gravity from Ireland's point of view, would be in the naval base in Cork. And basically what it'll be is a small room with a computer, and it'll allow us to share information securely with 10 other nations. And when governments are exchanging very sensitive information, they shouldn't be doing it by WhatsApp, and they shouldn't be doing it by Gmail. They should be doing it securely. And this is a secure means of communication which can't be hacked and can't be compromised in any way. So it's a very, very positive development. But to your second point in relation to what assets do we have, and we have very few assets here in Ireland, and any operations that are done, particularly in the maritime space, are intelligence driven. They're intelligence led. So if you really want to have the most effectiveness out of the meagre assets that Ireland has at its disposal, it's very important that we're part of this network.
I mean, just trying to get a handle on what exactly we'd be doing and what information we would be passing on. I mean, we saw newspaper reports of the Viktor Leonov, an acknowledged intelligence vessel put to sea by the Russians and gathering intelligence as it goes. We read about that in the newspapers. I mean, you don't need a hub in Holbein to get that kind of information.
Correct. So the reason Ireland got that information in the first place was it was passed on informally from Norway to the UK and over to Ireland. So in effect, this information sharing is already happening in an ad hoc and an informal basis, but this actually puts a bit more structure and allows us to communicate from a secure point of view. And it's not just from a naval perspective either, it's across the entire maritime domain. So this network will allow our Coast Guard to interact with its counterparts across Europe, the Garda Síochána as well from a maritime point of view, customs and excise as well. So it's not just a naval operations specific issue, it's actually across the entire maritime domain. And as we know, Ireland's maritime domain is about 8 times larger than its landmass, with almost infinite resources out there, so we have to protect it properly.
Now, the question again of the equipment we have, obviously we can use some of those aircraft that are flown by the Air Corps to monitor maybe illegal fishing in Irish waters, which they then pass on to their colleagues in the Navy who may intercept. But we've few enough of those aircraft, and in terms of a navy to intercept wrongdoers in Irish waters, we know that so few of those vessels can actually take to sea and may not even have the armoury to fire a shot across the bows of offenders.
Yeah, precisely, Pat. So I suspect from this network point of view, Ireland will be receiving a lot more information than we'll actually be giving. But we should be giving a lot of information as well if we had the assets to do so. About 16% of EU waters is under Irish control, at least should be under Irish control if we had the assets. And unfortunately, it's very hard to get information or intelligence if you don't have the platforms actually out at sea at the moment. So to answer your specific question, the Air Corps Maritime Squadron has two Airbus 295 maritime surveillance aircraft, and our Navy can probably put out a push two ships to sea at any one time. We don't have any sonar at all either. So this is very important that the meager assets that we do have, that we can sweat them and leverage them to the nth degree by having intelligence-led operations. Just like the MV Matthew about 18 months ago, you might remember the drug ship that was taken down off the coast of Cork.
Now, you say we have two aircraft that can do a bit of this monitoring and maybe two fully equipped ships that might be able to take to sea. The amount of maritime area that we are covering is 450,000 square kilometres.
Yes, it's an incredible size. It's at about eight times the size of our landmass. And let's remember, we did have a much more functioning navy only 15 years ago. We could put eight ships to sea, but now we can only put two at a push if we're lucky. And even the two aircraft from Maritime Squadron, they're unarmed aircraft. They have no means of intervening on the surface if, for instance, they came across a vessel that was trying to sabotage some of our critical infrastructure. They have no torpedoes. They have no sonar buoys. They have no means of intervening on the surface or below surface either. They can just monitor and report.
I'm just thinking, if those countries, including Norway, all get together and they're sitting around the table, I can imagine all of the representatives from the other countries turning to us and saying, "You are the weakest link."
Yeah, and they would be 100% right in saying so. And to be fair, I think it's been acknowledged in Ireland, particularly in the last couple of years, that we are the weakest link. There's some baby steps being taken to improve things. So, for instance, there's a new Oireachtas Defence and National Security Committee has pretty much been established last week. Now, obviously, it hasn't sat yet. That's a baby step forward. This would be normal in any other European country, but it's the first time we've ever had one. And there's a small bit of progress in relation to getting sonar equipment for our naval ships as well. This costs about 8, 9, 10 million. You just tow it off the back of a ship and it gives you a picture in relation to what's happening below the waves in relation to protecting our critical infrastructure down there as well. So there has been baby steps forward, but it's certainly not enough and it's certainly not at pace.
Well, you can buy this kind of equipment kind of off the shelf from the manufacturers, but if you don't have the ships to pull the sonar equipment, you're kind of fighting a losing battle.
Yes, and you're 100% right. But again, the irony is, of course, we do have the ships, but unfortunately, we just don't have the people. So there's about $250 million, that's €250 million worth of naval ships lying idle in the naval base in Cork at the moment because there's not enough sailors to crew them. And that is a major issue. That's completely unacceptable and completely negligent from a political point of view.
Now, there will be voices raised saying this will impact on our neutrality, or perhaps more accurately, on our perceived neutrality.
Yeah, well, Ireland has always shared intelligence and always received intelligence. And we've been doing that from the very first day the state was founded. So it's just business as usual from our point of view, but it's just being communicated now in a much more secure, much more structured fashion. I think if there is anything that is chipping away against our neutrality, our perceived neutrality, as you put it, it's that we're not abiding by our obligations as a neutral state. So a neutral state is obliged to be able to police their own maritime domain. And clearly we're not able to do that. So this should enhance our ability to do so and therefore enhance our neutrality as well.
You're sounding relatively positive about this because of what it does, that we will be in receipt of a lot of intelligence information, although we may not be able to provide very much. But, I mean, it's kind of a pathetic situation we find ourselves in.
Yeah, correct. It's a baby step forward, and hopefully it will feed into the national maritime strategy, or the maritime security strategy. We don't actually have one, which is unusual for an EU coastal country as well. So this is a baby step forward. I always go into these things with very low expectations, but a lot of people have been advocating for this for the last number of years, and it's good to see at least a semi-step forward from that point of view. So from an information sharing point of view, it will improve, but we still have to follow through with the assets. And there's been a lot of positive soundings from government in relation to that, but we really won't know until the revised National Development Plan is published in July, where they put their money where their mouth is, basically, and provide the assets that are needed.
As a former military man, if you were putting together a shopping list of assets that you'd like us to purchase, what would you suggest?
Yeah, well, number one is sonar, absolutely, to protect our critical infrastructure. Number two is people. There's no point in having all this equipment unless you've got the people to crew them. And that's the problem with the Navy at the moment. They have plenty of surface ships, are sufficient surface ships, I should say, but just not the crew, and certainly military-grade radar to control our airspace as well. They're the top three. And until you have those three things, three foundations in place, you're at nothing, basically. So absolutely critical we get them as soon as possible.
Now, do we know what the inhibition is in terms of recruitment? When you're going to sea, whether you're a fisherman or whether you're in the Navy, it tends to be quite vocational. There are people who love the sea, and then there are others who are confirmed landlubbers and would never take to a boat. So what is the inhibition in getting those people who love the maritime environment and would love to go to sea? Is it simply pay and conditions?
Yeah, that's a big condition or a big issue for sure. But it's not just pay, it's purpose as well. And it's very difficult. Say you were a surgeon in the HSE and you weren't provided with an operating theatre, or you didn't have theatre nurses, or you had no scalpel or no equipment. It's very hard to be motivated and for you to recommend other people to follow into surgery if the HSE weren't providing those services. Similarly, if you're a sailor in the naval service, you look and say, wow, the government, clearly we're not a priority because we haven't been provided with the appropriate assets for us to allow us to do our job. And the second thing then is location. Cork is a great city, obviously, south coast. We very much need a new, smaller naval base on the east coast, in around Dunleary or down towards Wicklow, very close to the main population centre in Dublin, to make it more attractive for people to at least consider joining the naval service. Mm-hmm. That is in train, but we're still talking years down the line, and it really has to be fast-tracked as soon as possible.
A technical question from one of the listeners. Does our information gathering and intelligence sharing include reporting what our allies are up to? Now, I'm not sure what Martin is referring to. He might be referring to our closest neighbour and passing on to EU people what the Brits are up to.
Well, I think the 11 nations that have joined this network at the moment, that's just the starting point. And the view would be that the UK will be joining very, very shortly as well. And I think the UK under the new Prime Minister is very, very keen to use its military edge or its military surplus, as they describe it, to re-engage with Europe. So I would see that the UK would join in due course, and that should solve that listener's
question. Another one, we need to increase naval pay so as to attract and retain personnel. We've talked about that. This one, regarding Air Corps maritime patrols, they happen Monday to Friday, 9 in the morning to 2 p.m., and one of the two aircraft is constantly being serviced in Seville in Spain.
So the two aircraft are currently in Valdonal. And if you follow any of the flight tracking radar, the Air Corps always have their transponders on unless it's a very sensitive operation, and you can track them. They fly 24/7. They're capable of flying at night. All their optics and all their surveillance equipment can work 24/7. That text would have been accurate about 18 months ago, when the old CASA 235 aircraft were in location here, but they've been upgraded to an Airbus 295 now at the cost of about €250 million. So about €250 million has been invested in Maritime Squadron the last 2 years, and we're starting to see results.
All right. Cathal, thank you very much for joining us. That's Cathal Berry, former member of the Defence Forces.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.